I was reading and watching some videos this week about the Canadian liberation of Holland, of the Netherlands, at the end of the Second World War. Early-ish in the war, the Nazi army had occupied the Netherlands. And for years, the people there had lived in fear. They hadn't had the freedom to worship the way they wanted, to do their schools the way that they wanted, to live God's full life for them. They were constantly in danger. They never knew what would happen next. And they were dreadfully, terribly hungry. The longer the war went, the hungrier the people were. Until the winter of 44-45, when people were starving. In the midst of that, Canada had already shown support for the Netherlands by giving some of the royal family a safe place. Some of the royal family had escaped and found safety for a time here in Canada. And Princess Margaret was born here during that time. And then, in 44, the Canadian Army was a large part of the forces sent for the battle in the Netherlands. And for months and months, Canadian men and women served there in Holland, in the Netherlands, along the dikes, in the fields, among the houses, trying to free that country. And as the German army began to retreat, that didn't mean the battle was over. It just got messier. And as the soldiers went further and further in, they found more and more hungry civilians, children and families, trying to survive, trying to get through. Until the day finally came, on May 5th of 1945, when the surrender in that part of Europe was signed. And the armies laid down their guns, and people poured into the streets to thank the Canadian and British and other soldiers who had made it possible for them to be free. The war in the Netherlands was over. And if you see the footage, you see people in the streets climbing over tanks, hugging anybody they can get their hands on, shaking people's hands. Hungry people, hurting people, who suddenly have a hope and a future. Grieving people, frightened people, who know now that this is not the end of all things, but the end of the worst of times. In the aftermath of the war years, the Queen of Holland sent thousands and thousands of
tulips.
As one way of showing how incredibly thankful they were for what the Canadian people had done for them. And if you ever have a chance to walk through Ottawa during tulip season, it is gorgeous. Every year those flowers bloom, and it is an amazing sign of hope. And every 5 years, and it's coming up again this spring. The people of Holland invite and welcome and thank, shake the hands of, and celebrate and cry with brave veterans who are now not young men anymore, but some each time make that trip. This spring coming might be the last trip for many of them, but to go and walk those streets again and to hear the thank yous as an incredibly grateful people show their thanks to the men and the women who saved them. The Church of Jesus Christ is the people that Jesus has saved. When we were in occupied territory, overcome, overwhelmed, starving and hurting, even collaborating with the enemy, when we were lost and broken and hurt in war-torn hearts and war-torn lives, Jesus Christ, our Savior, came into enemy territory and lived and walked among us and showed us what hope looked like and sacrificed everything so that we could be free. Church, we are a liberated people, and we know exactly who it is that we are thanking. Our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, our triune God, moved in and rescued us and freed us and fed us and loved us. And we are God's people who respond by loving God back, by our thanks, by our praise, by saying what is true about where we were, and by admitting what is true about what God has done. We are the people who respond to God with love and worship. That's who we are. But what does it look like? What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to love God back that way? Well, I think that if we were to look at one story in the Gospels that gives us a bit of a picture of what it means to love God back that way, then the story that Andrew just read for us is a really good place to start. You see, there was this young woman. We don't know her name, and we don't know her story. But there's a very good chance that she was one of three things. She may have been an orphan who had no family to care for her and no family to arrange a loving, caring marriage for her. No one to make sure she got a home. She may have been a widow who had known the love and care of a family and now had lost it and everything along with it. Or she may have been what today we would call trafficked. Somebody whose family deeply loved her and should never have been where she was. But what we do know is that she was hurting, that she was lost, that she was in trouble, and that she had done things that she was deeply, deeply ashamed of. And one day, and if I had a guess, I'd guess that it was at a dinner party. A dinner party thrown by another outcast. An outcast like Who knows? Maybe Levi, the tax collector that we call Matthew. One of those places where lots of lost people got together. Tax collectors and sinners. All kinds of hurting, heartbroken souls. Wherever it was, there was one more person there. And his name was Jesus. Because this woman, somewhere along the line, this woman met Jesus. This man who came in like a breath of fresh air, and instead of seeing everything she had done and everything that had been done to her, Jesus saw her. Jesus saw the woman God loved. And Jesus showed her God's love and forgave her for all that she had done. And when she thought about Jesus, she was absolutely overwhelmed with God's love and a sense of what Jesus had done for her. And it wasn't just enough for her to know in her heart that Jesus was the reason that she was going to be a different person. That wasn't enough for her. And it wasn't even enough for her to go up to him and shake his hand and say thank you. And it wasn't enough for her to tell one or two people. The love and the thanks that she felt bubbled over until it turned into worship. And she showed that love and that worship in the only way that she knew how. She went to somewhere where she was not welcome. See, Jesus was at a really important dinner now. He was at a fancy house with a religious guy who was hosting it. A Pharisee named Simon that was hosting a really nice dinner party with really nice religious people at it. And he decided to invite this rabbi who was causing all this trouble. But he didn't really feel comfortable with Jesus. And so he didn't necessarily show Jesus all of the respect that he showed everyone else. Everyone else had someone come and wash their feet, but that didn't exactly happen when Jesus came in. Everyone else was given what we would consider a warm welcome. But that didn't exactly happen. Jesus was kind of lucky to have a space at the table, frankly. After all, he wasn't exactly respectable. Well, the woman found out that Jesus was there. And she came into that house where she wasn't welcome. And she brought the most expensive thing that she had. It was this jar of perfume. Probably she had used it for work. But she wasn't going to need it, I think, for work anymore. She was going to pour it all out. She brought this perfume and she came into this house where she wasn't welcome. And she made a beeline for Jesus. And when no one else would do the basic welcoming things, she came in and she held onto his feet. And she poured out this perfume. And she began to weep thankful love worship tears. And she used those tears to wash Jesus' feet. And she didn't have a towel. So she dried his feet with her hair. Everything she had, she gave back. With her words, with her actions, with her emotions, with her tears, she responded to the God who loved her in worship that everyone could see and hear and smell. And it was beautiful in God's eyes. It was not beautiful in Simon the Pharisee's eyes. Simon saw that and he thought, if Jesus were really the prophet that he claims to be, he would know who she was and what she had done, and he would not let her touch him let alone this shocking display of behavior. It's just not done. Jesus did know who she was. Jesus knew exactly what she had done. And Jesus knew Simon too. And he loved Simon just as much as he loved the woman. And so he said to Simon, "I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," said Simon. And Jesus started a story. Two people owed some money to a certain moneylender. One of them owed him 500 days' wages. And the other one owed him 50 days' wages. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So the moneylender forgave the debts of both of those people. Now, which of them will love the moneylender more? And Simon says, "Well, I suppose the person who had the bigger debt forgiven." Jesus said, "Yeah. Yes, you're right. You have judged correctly." And then he turned to the woman and to Simon and said, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss." That'd be like a welcoming handshake. "But this woman, from the time I entered, hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head," which was a way of showing love and respect to a guest, like helping them know where things are in your home. "But she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you," you got to understand, "her many sins have been forgiven, and she loves much. But whoever has forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, probably not for the first time, "Your sins are forgiven. God has saved you. Go in peace." That woman knew what it is to be rescued, what it is to be saved, what it is to be forgiven. And that woman knew what it is to worship. We worship with every act that shows our love and our thanks to God. Everything we do that gives God glory is worship. And we worship with our music. We worship when we sing something like, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." Hey, Elizabeth, would you help me sing it again? Hear that? She's deep in her coloring. Let's sing that song. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice." Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you and I worship you. We worship as we sing, but we worship in other ways too. William said it, we worship when we pray. We worship here on Sundays when we pray, when we sing, when we heard God's word read and preached, when we stand together and show love to one another. But we don't just worship here on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. We worship every time we say or do something that shows our love for God. We pray When we stand around a grave and we hug each other and we speak words of comfort and words of hope. We worship when we stand or sit together at a wedding and we celebrate God's goodness and we give thanks for what God has done in the lives of that couple and that family. We worship together when we help a neighbor. We worship together when somebody is hurting and we promise, I will pray for you. We are people who know God's love. And we are people who love God. And loving God turns into worship. Paul says that we give our bodies, not just our minds, not just our hearts, not just our entire selves. It's like we put our entire self on one of those Old Testament worship altars. But we aren't like one of the lambs or bulls that got sacrificed and killed there. No, we are a living sacrifice. And as we love God, and as we show God that love, we are a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And that is true worship. So today, as you go, love somebody. So today, as we go, thank God with your hearts, with your words, because we are God's church, liberated, set free, given hope. We are the people who God loves. We are the people who loves God back. We are the people who worship. Let's worship God together. Please pray with me. Lord, our God, we are amazed by what you have done for us. The stories of sacrifice and hope from our past give us a glimpse. Your true story is so incredibly much more. And so, God, we worship you today. We worship you with our voices. We worship you with our hearts and our words. And we worship you with what we do. And we pray that as we go from this place, your Holy Spirit would fill us up so that we can worship you every day together in your name to give you glory. Amen. May you go today knowing God's love. And may you go today showing God's love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.